Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Acts in chapter number 15. The book of Acts in chapter number 15. We are continuing and steadfastly moving through this series of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And as we've traveled with the Apostle Paul, we've watched him as he came to know Christ as his Savior. We've watched him as he's interacted with several people. We've watched him as he went and became the pastor of the church of Antioch, a Gentile church in Syria that had just exploded. We traveled with the Apostle Paul as he went through his first missionary journey. Then he came back and resumed working in the church of Antioch and had a couple things that needed to be clarified with the Jerusalem Council. And we find the Apostle Paul now back in the church of Antioch, and he's serving, and now he is getting ready and preparing to go on his second missionary journey, his journey around the world, planting churches, directing them where God wants them to go, and telling the gospel wherever he goes. And we find a man that he interacts with in the book of Acts in chapter 15, and we examine a man. And we're going to take time to look at this guy's life that is referenced here in the book of Acts, chapter 15. Notice with me in verse number 36. Acts 15 and verse 36, we watch this occur. Acts 15, 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Samaria unto Cecilia, confirming the churches. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in Acts 15? Acts 15. And in verse number 37, we see the name John, whose surname was Mark. John, whose surname was Mark. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to do an examination of the life of John Mark. I'd like to preach a message of John Mark, the recovered backslider. John Mark, the recovered backslider. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And I'm thankful for your Bible. I'm thankful that we could open up the Bible and we could examine a man's life who you mentioned and you recorded in your word. That we can glean knowledge, that we can get encouragement, that we can learn for ourselves. And I'm asking that you would do that once again, that you would make your Bible come alive and that we would fall in love with you. And that we'd be more determined that in the midst of our failings to still serve you nonetheless. I'm asking that you would encourage folks in a special way, a way that I cannot, that only you and your Spirit can. I do for myself recognize my own shortcomings, my own infirmities, my own failings. And I surrender them all to you and ask that you fill me with your precious Spirit, that you would guide and direct everything that is done, and that you would be pleased with what is done. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John Mark, the recovered backslider. Now in this series, as we come to different people that are important in different passages, we are going to do a character study. We've already done character studies of Barnabas, the son of consolation. He was the man who was always an encouragement wherever he went, that he understood his own limitations. But remember, it was Barnabas who shook hands with Paul and brought him up front and introduced him to the preachers when everyone else was afraid of him. We were introduced with Silas, chief men among brethren. And here was a man who was willing just to make himself available. Now we're introduced to another young man that we see and find our in Scripture, a man by the name of John Mark. A man by the name of John Mark. And if you don't mind, let's see this young man in the very beginning part of the Scriptures as it's recorded to him in the book of Acts in chapter number 12. We're going to turn through several different Scriptures just to examine the life of this young man of John Mark. In Acts chapter 12, we see that the church is under persecution, the church of Jerusalem specifically, and that in Acts chapter 12, that Herod, who was the king of that area at the time, had taken James, the brother of John, one of the 12 disciples, the son of Zebedee, and he killed him. And when he found out that it pleased a lot of the Jewish leaders, he says, let's do it again. And so he arrested Peter, the apostle, and he put him in jail, and he was preparing for his execution date. Now, Peter was sitting there, and he went to sleep. He says, God, you're in charge. I'm going to get some rest. I'm not going to worry about this. And what happened is that God sent an angel, sent an earthquake, and Peter's sleeping so soundly that he actually had to kick Peter and said, get up. And so Peter got up, and he realized he escaped, and he took off. Well, he went to the church. To the house church. Remember, the church is not the four walls. It's the people assembling together. And back in those days, they didn't have church buildings. They met at people's houses. And the church of Jerusalem was praying at some person's house. And they were praying that Peter would get freed. Now, you might remember the story that Peter went and he knocked on the door. And a young girl opened up and said, it's Peter! And went and didn't even let him in. Peter's outside! Well, the church is going, well, it must be a spirit. They must have killed him. Now, they're in there praying for Peter to get freed. And he's outside the door, but they don't believe it happened. Till finally, she comes out and lets him in and goes, oh, it is Peter! Isn't it amazing how sometimes we're surprised when God does answer our prayers? Well, notice, if you don't mind, in the midst of this story, where Peter goes to, where is the church located, the Church of Jerusalem meeting at for this prayer meeting? Acts chapter 12, and notice with me verse 12. Acts 12, 12. And when he, that's Peter, considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So as they're praying for Peter to get out of jail, guess where they're meeting? They're meeting at the house of young John Mark. He's probably a young kid at this time. But can you imagine that happening? He grew up hearing about Peter, or he grew up and he was there at the prayer meeting when Peter comes back and says, look, God, release me from prison. We were praying for it. Now, that's an impression on a young kid to have a big prayer meeting in the house and people are praying and God answers an impossible prayer to free Peter from jail. John Mark was very heavily influenced by Peter. In fact, we believe that Peter is actually the man who led John Mark to the Lord. Later on, Peter actually refers to John Mark as my son, meaning my son in the faith. That it was probably Peter that led John Mark to the Lord. That Peter probably set him aside and said, son, let me tell you something about Jesus. Jesus was God, robed in flesh, and he dwelt among us. And I was there, I traveled with him, and Jesus died for your sins and for mine. And then on the third day, he rose again. And John Mark, I want to let you know that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does that sound simple? He says, yes, sir. Does that sound biblical? Yes, sir. Does it sound like something you'd want to do? Yes, sir. And John Mark, probably as a young man, had Peter lead him to the Lord. So he started off in a Christian home, a home that was praying, a home that grew up. Later on, by the way, his uncle was also pretty famous. His uncle was Barnabas, the Barnabas we talked about, the son of consolation. And so he's in a Christian home. He's got a good Christian family. Notice, if you don't mind, as we fast forward a little bit, Acts chapter 12 and verse 25. So Barnabas has gone to the church of Antioch. Notice with me in Acts chapter 12 and verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem where they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And so as Barnabas and Paul had traveled to to Jerusalem just for a little bit. They stop by and they say, hey, John Mark, we're going to Antioch. You want to go with us? Yes, Uncle Barnabas, I'd love to go. Oh, Saul, I've heard all about you, and probably got to meet a little bit about Saul. But he traveled with his uncle and they traveled up to the church of Antioch and they served there. In Acts 13, we see as they prepare to go for this first missionary journey, God called Saul and he called Barnabas for a work that he had him to do. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 5, as they travel, and verse Acts 13, 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John to their minister. So they bring John Mark. Now, this word minister, I want to remind you, means the word servant. So they bring John Mark. They have Paul, they have Barnabas, and they're going to travel on their first missionary journey, and they got John Mark. And what's John Mark's job to do? He was what we call a gopher. He goes for this and he goes for that. He's there to take care of the preachers, open the door for the preachers, shine the preacher's shoes, to take care of their things. He's there. That's his job. He's traveling with Paul. By the way, wouldn't that be wonderful to travel with the Apostle Paul on the first missionary journey and just to be able to do anything? Man, Barnabas, Uncle Barnabas, what can I do for you? Man, can I help fluff your pillow? You know, what can I do? I'm there as a minister. What can I do for you? You see, he just followed the biblical pattern that we see later all throughout Scripture. He just made himself a servant. He found the preacher and said, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? How can I help? Do you need anything done? He just put himself at the preacher's disposal, and that's what he was there to do. Well, as they traveled on the first missionary journey, as we've already covered, sometimes things weren't necessarily easy. They had some obstacles. They had some people that were against them. They had a sorcerer that they met. They had people who were trying to stop things going on. But notice what happens to John Mark as things start to get hard. Look with me in Acts 13 and verse 13. Acts 13 and verse 13, notice what happens. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So in the midst of the first missionary journey, they're already starting to see people saved, but they're seeing some obstacles. And John Mark says, Uncle Barnabas, I think I got way over my head. I don't know if I can handle this. You guys are doing some great things, but I don't know if I'm cut out for this thing. I just don't know. Finally, Barnabas said, well, do what you want to do. And what happened is that John Mark quit. He quit the ministry. He quit. He says, I'm done. You know, when people quit, it discourages others. It really affects the work when someone quits and says, you know, this thing isn't for me anymore. I don't want to do this. When they quit, it affects everything else. You know, it's one thing. Here's Paul and Barnabas that they're preaching and they're getting obstacles. They have a sorcerer that stands in the way. But you know, the one thing that really can affect it, it's not what happens on the outside. It's when someone in the inside quits. Someone says, I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. It's too hard. It's not what I expected. It's inconvenient. I want to do my own thing. And he quits and he goes home. I'm done. That was probably the hard thing that Paul and Barnabas dealt with. It's not the guy who's trying to say, I'm going to get you. It's the guy who's working with them and is supposed to be helping them and says, I'm done. I quit. You're on your own. That weakens that group. It weakens it when they quit. It's making them so they're not so strong. And when one person quits, it makes other people think about quitting. It did so much to disturb. This was a spiritual thing that occurred here. And he quit. He's done. Now, we see John Mark picked up a little bit later in Acts 15 where we started. In fact, you can go ahead and make your way there. But what happened to John Mark in this in-between time? Well, what happened is he went back home and started going to the church of Jerusalem. Thankfully, he didn't quit church. He just kind of quit the ministry. But while he was there, he started to serve God again. Praise the Lord for that. His heart started to burn. He started to see people come to know the Lord. His soul started getting on fire for God. And he says, you know what? I made a mistake. I needed a refreshing. I'm getting back. I'm ready to go. And so eventually, after some time went, they did that first missionary journey. And Paul and Barnabas traveled. They went back to the Jerusalem council. And while they were there, Barnabas probably checked on John Mark and said, how you doing, son? Man, I made a mistake when I left you guys. It was a mistake. I look at it now. I thought I was doing the right thing for me, but it was the wrong thing. But let me tell you, Uncle Barnabas, I've learned my lesson. And let me tell you, you go see my pastor. I've been serving. I've been faithful. I've been doing what I've been asked to do. Anything that my pastor asked me to do, I'm there. And I've been working hard. And Barnabas says, you know, that's good. I can use you. He says, come up back with me to Antioch and we're going to make some plans and you could be some help to me. So he said, all right, thank you, Uncle Barnabas. And he traveled back to Antioch. Now, as we find our way to Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas began to talk again. They said, you know, we need to go take another trip. We need to see how those churches we started are doing. Let's go follow up on them. And let's go make sure that things are going all right. And turn back with me to where we had started, Acts 15 and verse number 36. Acts 15 and 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren into every city wherein we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. So Paul comes and says, all right, Barnabas, it's time for us to go. Let's go follow up these other churches. Let's go visit. Let's see how that guy's doing over there. Oh, you remember that guy? Oh, let's go follow up. Let's go see how they're doing. And verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. So in the midst of this conversation, Mark's not even there. Paul and Barnabas are planning together and Barnabas says, hey, I've been talking to John Mark again. Let me tell you, he's really changed. He really wants to go with us. And I think he's going to be a help. He's going to serve us this time. He's his pastor in Jerusalem. He's been serving. He's been faithful. But notice Paul's reaction, verse 38. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul said, now, wait a second. I ain't taking no quitter. That's probably not proper English, but you understand what I'm saying. I ain't taking no quitter. Let me tell you, he quit on us. And when he quit, that hurt. We're trying to do an important. We're trying to start churches. We don't need someone who's going to quit every time things are going to get tough. I'm not taking him. He's just going to quit on us again. I understand he's relative and I'm trying to be sensitive to you, Barnabas, but we're not taking him. We're not doing it because what's going to do is he's going to quit and then other people are going to quit. I don't want to go through that hurt again. I don't want to take a quitter. You know his boy. You're just his uncle. You're looking out for him. I understand that, but we're not taking him. Now, this became a big deal. This wasn't just, all right, Paul. They both stood their ground. Barnabas says, no, we're taking him. Paul says, absolutely not. Notice this in verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed one asunder, one from the other. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Now, here is a traveling pair, Barnabas and Paul. And they've been together. They've been through thick and thin. What was the thing that got in between them? A quitter. Someone who backslid, someone who walked away from the Lord. Now, we understand that the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. So who was right? Well, actually, it was who was wrong. Both of them had pride. Both of them were standing their ground. Paul was saying, absolutely not. Barnabas says, hey, I'm not going unless I take the boy. And they were in an argument. I understand that sometimes we don't see Paul as someone who get in an argument, but he was in an argument. This is personal to him. This hurt when he quit. It hurt him badly. So much that he said, I don't want to have anything to do with him. And so much that Barnabas was able to say, I'll quit this fellowship. Hey, you press me. I'm taking my nephew. We've been through a lot, but I'm going to take him. Finally, Barnabas said, all right, that's how you're going to be, Paul. We're done. And he takes John Mark and they begin to make their own missionary journey. And they start traveling and they start going. Paul said, done with him. Hey, Silas, you have a good reputation. You want to go with me? Silas said, sure. And so they split ways. Isn't that a tragedy? Isn't that something that's heartbreak? You said, who is right? I don't know. Who is wrong? Both of them. Why is it over? Someone who quit the ministry. Someone who hurt someone when they quit. Now you say, well, that doesn't sound very encouraging. Poor John Mark. Well, we understand there is consequences to our actions. It does affect others. It does hurt. But the Bible also says, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. You know, God did work on Paul's heart. And let's examine some more things about Scripture. And let's see some things that happened. Notice with me in the book of Colossians, chapter number 4. The book of Colossians, chapter number 4. John Mark did not quit the second time. John Mark served with Barnabas, and he began to make full proof of the ministry. He began to serve and began to tell people about the Lord. He began to endure the hard times. He's now serving God faithfully. So much that years later, Paul pens the book of Colossae. By the way, Paul's in jail when he's writing this. And he's writing to the church of Colossae. By the way, it's a church that was started from a Bible institute that Paul had in Ephesus. Paul didn't start the church of Colossae. It was a church that was started out of that Bible institute. And so he's writing to the church of Colossae. And notice what he says in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, he's giving his final greetings. Notice this. Colossians chapter 4, this is Paul writing, verse 10. And Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salute you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. Who's this Marcus? It's John Mark. He says, and you want to know something about John Mark? He says, in parentheses, touching whom you receive commandments, if he, John Mark, come to you, receive him. He's writing to a church later on, and he says, hey, if you ever have the privilege of having John Mark come, let him preach. He's going to be someone that's going to be a blessing to you. Do you understand that God even worked on Paul's heart as he watched John Mark prove himself, as he watched John Mark be consistent? That here's Paul saying, hey, if you could ever have a chance to have John Mark come preach for you, he says he'll be a blessing. If he gets the chance to come to your church, receive him. He'll be a help. And that's pretty big news there. Here's one time Paul said, I'm not taking this quitter. And now he's saying here, he's going to be a help to you. He's going to be a great blessing to you. We could see this restoration. John Mark had to prove himself, by the way. He had to prove himself faithful, but he did. After all these years, he's still in the ministry. He's still working, even though it's hard. Now Paul's given his endorsement and says, here's someone that will be a help to you. Here's someone that will be a great help. Notice with me as we fast forward in time, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is in prison again, this time for the last time. Paul's about ready to take a shortcut to glory. They're going to behead him soon. And as he's in the prison the second time, this is going to be his last time, he's writing to his son of the faith, Timothy, and he's giving some final instructions. Notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul says this, only Luke is with me. So he got to the place, Paul's in prison, everyone has abandoned him, he's all by himself except for Dr. Luke, who's a medical doctor who's keeping Paul alive and going. Only Luke who's with me. Take Mark, this by the way is John Mark, and bring him with thee. Notice this, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Here's this guy who was once a quitter, and now at the end of Paul's life, he has proven himself so faithful that Paul is telling Timothy, he said, Timothy, you need to come see me. And you make sure when you see me, you bring John Mark, because he's profitable to me. He's good for me. You understand, here was a guy who quit. Here's a guy who walked away from the Lord, walked away from what God gave him to. And God was able to restore him and use him. What a wonderful thing for us. You understand that we all sometimes make mistakes. There are some times that maybe we quit and we don't do the things that we're supposed to. Maybe because of it, we discourage other people around us that I'm not going soul winning no more. I'm not doing this no more. I'm just not going to show up. But you understand that we have a great God who's plenteous in mercy and grace. That at any time we can come back to him and he'll take us back. And that he could restore us. Now, I'm not saying that restoration is easy. And you will have to prove yourself and there will be some obstacles you have to overcome. But here is John Mark that Paul one time said, I'm not taking that quitter with me. Now he's saying, you need to bring him to me. He's profitable to me. Oh, he's proven himself. He's been a great blessing. And as I'm getting ready to die, I want to see John Mark. He's been such a blessing to me. But you know, that's not all. Let's see a little bit more about John Mark. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter in chapter 5. John Mark, while he was after he traveled with Barnabas for a while, he hooked up with Peter. Remember, Peter's the one who led him to the Lord in the first place. And so Peter takes John Mark and begins to travel with him, so much that he makes reference to it in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5, and notice as he makes reference to John Mark. 1 Peter 5 and verse 13. 1 Peter 5:13. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. This is John Mark that he's talking about, my son of the faith. I led this kid to the Lord. And he says, hey, I want to let you know that John Mark said hi too. And so John Mark had been going and doing work, and he's been helping out with churches, and he traveled with Peter. Now, this is some good things, but I'm going to get you to the best thing in just a second. That John Mark, here's a man, Barnabas' son. He grew up in a household. He was led to the Lord by Peter. And he'd started on the first missionary journey with Paul, and he quit in the middle of it. Discouraged a lot of people, put a sour taste in Paul's mouth. But later on, he restored himself. He worked hard. He overcome those things. And he's preaching the gospel. And Paul's saying, you need to let him come and help you in your church. This is going to be a blessing. Peter is saying, hey, Marcus, he's been a blessing. Paul, at the end of his life, says, Timothy, you make sure you bring Marcus. He is profitable to me. But one thing that Marcus did, John Mark did, as he traveled with Peter, he began to ask questions. He said, Peter, what was it like to walk with Jesus? Peter, can you tell me stories about Jesus? And you know what happened? That John Mark began to write these things down. And because of John Mark, a backslider, we now have the gospel record of Mark. This backslider is the one who was the human penman who wrote the gospel record of Mark. And it is written from Peter's perspective. So as John Mark is listening to Peter, he's writing this thing down. It was also the first gospel record recorded. That the first New Testament epistle was James. And then a little bit after this in the ministry, Paul's starting to write letters. The very first of the gospel records recorded was John Mark's gospel record, the gospel record of Mark. And we could read it for ourselves, written from Peter's perspective, written to the Roman mind that shows continual action. Just recording, Peter, tell me more. What happened after that? Oh, Peter, tell me some more. Here is a man at one time quit and discouraged a lot of folks. But you want to know something? There's always hope. That it doesn't matter how much you failed God. If you still want to be used, He'll use you. I'm not saying that there's not some restoration. There's not some things you have to overcome. But even if you fail God, He still has a desire to use you. And God wants to do more in your life than you could even imagine for yourself. But there has to be that surrendering. There has to be that thing. I want to be used. I want to be used. I want to be used. You know, there's a lot of Christians who say, but preacher, you don't know what I did in my past. I've messed up God so much. I've done this and I've done this and I failed God here and I hurt this person here. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done before. This Christianity is a series of new beginnings. You start from where you are and you move forward. You see, there's hope for every single one of you. Someone says, I wasted my whole life. Why would God use me now? Let me tell you, you start from where you are and you move forward. Someone says, but I messed up really bad and there's consequences. I understand there's consequences, but you start from where you are and you move forward. You start from where you are and move forward. You can't let past defeats hold you down. You understand that whenever Satan starts reminding you of your past, you remind him of his future, of where he's heading. That you start from where you are. And you move forward. And as long as you have a desire to be used of God, God will use you. Now again, if you failed God in the past, I'm not saying that there's not consequences and not things you have to overcome. But if you want to be used of God, He's willing to use you. And we could be encouraged. Here's a man who quit the ministry. He quit the Apostle Paul. In fact, it was because of him that contention was between Paul and Barnabas and broke up that team. But at the very end, he was profitable to Paul. At the very end, God used him to be the human penman to give us the gospel record of Mark. In fact, the next time you read the gospel record of Mark, I want you to think of that young man. Here's someone who has quit, but now he's writing scripture. What a great God that we have. Dear friend, I want to encourage you that wherever you are right now, I want you to be determined that you're going to move forward. That wherever you are right now, you should be something in your heart that says, God, I want to be used of you. Will you use me? Will you use me? If you make yourself available, He will. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.